It's Uncle Banzai, Penis Envy, from an album called A Lonely Grain of Corn, way back in 1984. Still one of my favorites. I'm going to run now through the city council agenda, the parts of it that I was able to look over. As I mentioned before, they're holding special sessions at inconvenient times for those of us who have already planned a protest at 3 o'clock. The 11 o'clock session is the Redevelopment Agency. And there are a couple of items in the Redevelopment Agency that kind of caught my fancy. Item number 3, Replacement Housing Plan for 745 River Street. This is the building that is currently housing the Santa Cruz Service Corps, used by both members of Camp Hope and Camp Paradise, for those who are interested in those homeless encampment groups. You can reach them by calling the Santa Cruz Service Corps at 423-8636. However, I've been pretty critical and outspoken about the fact that the Service Corps was dissolved by edict from Paul Lee, and that then the board refused to dissolve itself and decided actually that it would, on the other side of the spectrum, dissolve itself in favor of the kind of the Camp Hope people. I'd like to see all the camps represented and taken care of, and including most homeless people who aren't in camps. But in any case, what this recommendation on the city council agenda is doing is it's taking the building they're currently in. On September 1st, they're going to tear it down, and they're going to supposedly start the first step of a $5 million family shelter. And what they're doing is they are passing a replacement housing plan for folks who had lived in that building before it was an office. It's not a place where people live now, but it's now being used as an office. What interests me is that the 75% requirement only of the low and moderate household units lost be replaced. I had thought that that number had risen to 100%, but it's 75%, and I'm wondering what's happening with Nueva Vista, also known as the Dolphin Lee Project. We're going to be covering that in a future show. That's the City Council's Destroy the Housing in Order to Save It plan, backed by Fuhrer Fitzmaurice and Catherine Byers, and now I guess the entire City Council. Another item on the Redevelopment Agency agenda that interests me was item 4, which these are all on the consent agenda. It's an amendment pertaining to investors at a property at 1010 Pacific Avenue, which, I'm looking over my notes here, allows for some very low and moderate income housing there. And I think this is maybe the Swenson and or Maynard Mansion property. I'm not quite sure which it is. It looked an interesting thing to follow if you're up there in 11 o'clock in the morning and checking in the Redevelopment Agency. A lot of low-income projects and low-income issues, those that actually ever make it to the City Council agenda, show up on the Redevelopment Agency agenda. I'm looking at another item here. On the regular agenda, they have an emergency ordinance that they're passing on standards for a flood zone. And, of course, the question I have, which is not answered by the staff report, is why do they need an emergency ordinance? I'm just sort of a dumb member of the public trying to figure out what the City Council is doing. The minutes are still not on the net. That's item number 2 on the afternoon consent agenda, which is happening at 1 o'clock rather than 3. At item number 4 at 1 o'clock is Public Works and Water Department's reclassification of positions, which adds $25,000 cost. Again, although I requested of City Council that they put any increases in cost onto the actual agenda so people could read that and quickly note that without having to go to the staff reports, they have not done that, just as they're refusing to publish the minutes beforehand or the proposed minutes. There's, as mentioned earlier in the show, item number 5 is a street vending permit from Conrado Lopez Gomez, who wants to sell apparently fruits, and this is sort of an elaborate process. They're recommending that he give a copy. They're recommending that he present, obtain a business license and a permit, provide a description of the vending vehicle with license number and photo, obtain an inspection of the vehicle, obtain a background check and approval for the vending permit from the police department. I'm just wondering. Imagine if every person who vended flowers or who had a cup out had to get this kind of a permit, and this sort of process was proposed, although I imagine somewhat simpler in 1994 by Neil Coonerty, the Bookshop Santa Cruz owner and former mayor. Luckily, it was dumped after massive protest from the downtown ordinances. Of course, the ordinances themselves should have been dumped and were not. Number 7 on the consent agenda in the afternoon session. Again, this is stuff I would normally pull off the agenda and deal with, but I'll probably be dealing with so many other things I won't, is the contract to accept and approve the social services. And it's interesting. It lists all the money expended for each of the social service groups, from above the line to Boys and Girls Club to Community Action Board, which, by the way, has come out against the downtown ordinances, or at least the process of rushing them through. And all in all, they're spending like $1.8 million on social services, so which is interesting to see. But then, if you look further, the next item, item number 9, they're spending $396,000 on the Santa Cruz County Conference and Visitors Council. That's advertising for the beach boardwalk. That's what that is. So that dwarfs any single item in the social service budget. It's just amazing. And if you look, for example, at the Cultural Foundation, the Cultural Council is going to get $27,000. So they give $27,000 to the Cultural Council, but they give $400,000 essentially to the Seaside Company to do some advertising and some of the businesses downtown. I don't see why these folks can't do their own advertising. I mean, I don't know. Item 22 is more money for the police department through federal enforcement law enforcement block funds. I would pull that off the agenda if I had the time, and I'd talk about it longer if I had the time, and I don't, so I won't. It's going to involve $10,000 of city money, which I think could probably be better spent. Looking further here, there's item 27 is the 8th agreement between the City of Santa Cruz and the Downtown Management Corporation. Those are the bosses of the hosts. And it talks about establishing a downtown host through annual assessments of $6,500 in revenues from the kiosks, as well as $5,000 in revenues from the cafe and retail extension areas. So in essence, we're paying for private security guards for these hosts out of public money. I guess it's private in the sense that it comes from taxes from the hosts, from the kiosks like Alibaba's and Sushi Now, but it's taxes that could be better spent other than private security guards for them. I mean, I regard the hosts essentially as private security guards for the businesses on the mall. That's what they are. There's more, unfortunately, but we don't have a lot of time. We have very little time to cover it. City Council, again, will be meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, the main discussion of the downtown ordinances. And they are available from the city clerk's office. They'll also be available at the table at 2 o'clock, where I will be doing some tabling down in front of the Jackson's Shoes. Candy Jackson and others were the businesses that signed on to the Jackson petition that have pushed these rushed ordinances forward. And I want to remind you, what we really need to be doing is considering alternatives. And I'm hoping that maybe on my next show I can have Thomas Levitt, who is going to be running for city council and who has also been raising issues at the Green Party, who can talk about and has been vigorously disputing some of the stuff that the city council has been doing. He's got a letter here which I've released as a flyer called "These Laws Are a Moral Wrong." You'll be able to get a copy of this letter if you'd like down at the table, and I have a new flyer that's been issued. It will be also available at the table later today. I'm kind of fumbling around looking for the name of that thing. Here it is. Council crowds out political tables and musicians. Rushed ordinances radically reconstrict public spaces. And you can read my take on that and the take of actually a couple of folks. And, you know, it looks like some organizations are concerned about this. I think the Coalition for a Community Commons. Greg Kindick talked about his concerns. I think Bob Guzley and other people from the SCAN Steering Committee talked about their concerns. I've mentioned Thomas Levitt. I suspect Linda LeMaster of the Green Party are concerned. I think the Green Party officially came out with a statement opposing all the downtown ordinances, and particularly the bad process, though I haven't seen the verbatim copy of what they've done. So there's a lot of, among the organizations that were most supportive of the council members who were elected, at least in 1998, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, they all oppose these ordinances. Now, it has to be said, Crone and Sugar have said they either oppose the ordinances or they oppose the rushed process. And Sugar had some good questions about, you know, bring us back some proof, police chief, that there's actually was an improvement after you got your 1994 downtown ordinances, which set up these forbidden zones to start with before we extend them still further. And I have no doubt the police chief will come in with some of his usual smoke and mirrors. What's interesting is police and staff get 20 minutes to half an hour to give their presentation, but of course the public can neither question the staff nor do they have adequate time to respond to it. And organizations have been cut back as well. I was going to bring with me, I actually thought I had it on the phone, Mayor Crone's, you'll be able to hear him say, yes, Robert, you'll be able to have, you know, there'll be 3 minutes for individuals and 5 minutes for organizations at the public hearings of the downtown ordinances. But in fact, as those of you who attended the hearings or those of you who saw it on television know, there was no such time given. In fact, he didn't even propose that. He just simply allowed Kennedy and the council to proceed with a motion to cut back time to 2 minutes and 1 minute. And it was just, it was a disgrace. I mean, he ran around kind of trying to do some patching things up. He ran over to me at one point and said, Robert, they want me to arrest you unless you be quiet. I actually hadn't been saying anything. I mean, I think along with the rest of the audience, when somebody said something particularly outrageous, we, you know, there was some sort of response. That's what happens in a democracy. People talk at the mic and the audience tends to respond. I mean, the idea that we're all sitting with, you know, like we're in Sunday school is not what a democratic process is. You know, respect is one thing, but, you know, silence is another. In fact, there's some kinds of things that one is not empowered to respect. If a person gives a bigoted speech, you may not, you know, I don't think it's appropriate to go up there and hang the person or interrupt them so that they can't continue, although some feel that people in positions of power should be so interrupted, as Henry Kissinger should have been, might have saved a lot of lives and occasionally was. Nonetheless, if it's a private individual is just saying, what bums and tramps and trash, as you heard this caller from the message machine that I played for you earlier do, you let him speak, but, you know, you'll respond to it. That's a bunch of bigotry, might be the phrase that comes from the audience. Well, that's what's called, I think, the First Amendment. And although apparently Fitzmaurice and City Attorney John Barisoni don't believe in the First Amendment at City Council or believe it takes radically different form, and apparently now want to institutionalize even worse limits on speech at Free Council, if you look at the Saturday Sentinel, Santa Cruz aims to tame council meetings, I think it's clear to most people in the community that the reason people don't show up at City Council is because they don't think they're going to be heard. And it doesn't have anything to do with a bunch of people that are, you know, they don't like in the oral communications line. It has to do with the fact that the council has made up its mind before it starts, reserves all the time for favored staff, and will go its own merry way no matter what you do, unless you can get a significant number of people to stand up and just say no. So, looks like we are out of time here and about to be out of the studio. I see the hordes are rising. Certain pro-Palestinian types are about to, who knows what they're going to do.
Pro-peace.
Pro-peace. Oh, sure.
Pro-Israeli, too.
All right.
Just not pro-Israeli military and government.
Wait a minute. I love my government. In any case, we'll take that whole issue up later. Please, 2 o'clock at in front of Jackson Shoes, if you want to see me again, that's where I'm going to be. I will have some erasable chalk in the vicinity, which I... you know, there are kids who may want to do some hopscotching. I hope that there won't be, stores downtown are unaccountably selling sidewalk chalk. I don't know what got into their minds to be engaging in such criminal behavior, but I can only say support your local business and buy from Palace Arts Stationery sidewalk chalk. I mean, come on, let's do it. Come on down, bring your stuff, and if you can't make it to this protest, there's plenty of things for you to do to fight the downtown ordinances and to fight for a better downtown where we can have some real codes which really address issues, which really bring people together or at least allow for a healthy discussion where people can air their differences without feeling they're going to be arrested, you know, or beaten up or whatever. Let's work on that. Let's realize we have a long haul ahead of us, that the city council is likely to ram through this stuff. And that's that may be the case, but we should be there. We should be there organizing against it and speaking not so much to the council that's made up its mind, but to the community. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to play a little Phil Oakes as I go out. And you can also tune in to Free Radio Santa Cruz again on Thursday. I'll be back at 6 o'clock in the evening. And in the meantime, call 423-HUFF or come to the HUFF meeting at 5:30 at the Farmers Market, and we will be there.
Tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, and it's now a little after 1:30, and just thought I'd let people out there know that this is an open time slot between 1:30 and 3.